Today on the podcast, we are talking with Cecilia Koenig. And Cecilia is a photographer, a family photographer based in the Pacific Northwest. And she has a very unique story to tell. And I'm glad that she is here with us today on the Focal Points podcast. I can't wait for you to listen. Do you struggle with all things you need to run your photography business on the day-to-day? You're not alone. And you're in the right place. You're listening to Focal Points. We're an EndPhoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell, and we are here to help you create a business that you love. Well, welcome to the Focal Points podcast. My name is Dori Howell, and I'm so glad that you are here with me today. Based on what you heard from the introduction, I am here with Cecilia Koenig, and she is a photographer in the Southwest Washington area. And I could tell you a lot about her, but I'm going to let her do that herself. So first of all, welcome, Cecilia.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you are here with me today. And can you give just a brief introduction so our listeners know who you are, what you do, and maybe why you're here with us today?
Yes, absolutely. So my name is Cecilia, like Dori mentioned, and I am still in my 20s. So business for me is always going to be growth. And what I find is that I really started my business as I observed. I started my business as a hobbyist, like most photographers, but then it grew. I was in landscape photography. I was, you know, just exploring my surroundings. And then I became a mom, and that's how I started into portraits, because when I was in my bachelor's program for fine art photography and design, I thought I was going to be strictly commercial or strictly landscape photography. Mm-hmm. I never would have imagined that connecting with other people is how I relate in business the best. A little bit outside of photography, I am a mom to two kids, and they're both under 10 years old. So that's really fun and puts a lot of different perspectives into my life as a photographer specializing in family and headshot. So it's very adventurous. For me as a person, I get bored if I'm doing the same thing over and over. So having two business ventures is very good for me in the sense that I can connect with business owners who are like-minded people, but then also relate to a mom or a father that has kids under 10 years old, or even kids that are teenagers and graduating high school. I've had a very vast experience, which is different from most photographers because I have a bachelor's in my area. That's not something you see within my area, that people go out and specialize in education for photography. Also, another really good thing is that I spent 5 years with LifeTouch as a school portrait photographer, an ID printer. And really training those new hires was one of the bigger eye-opening experiences for me as a leader, because as an entrepreneur, you have to lead and you have to educate clients. So that taught me a lot of skills that brought into my business more so than just going out and saying, hey, I have a camera, let me take a picture of your family, because those are the verbs that you would use rather.
Well, maybe, I don't know if everyone should be using those verbs, but yeah, right. a lot of that's what you see. It's just like, here I am, I have a camera, can I take pictures of you? Right?
Right.
There you go.
And that's why I'm saying, I'm like, you have to go in and, you know, focus on your learning when you first get started, is that where are you in your personal and in your business? And I will talk more about that here in a minute, of course.
Yeah. I think one thing that is so interesting about your story is the fact that you do have that bachelor's. You actually got the college education behind the craft that not a lot of people have. You are also have extensive experience with LifeTouch. And as much as we photographers bag on LifeTouch, we have no experience with them. And so the fact that you've come from the formal education side, also the education of running a business with LifeTouch, because I'm assuming that it was a lot more than just taking pictures and moving into a training mode. And then being a young mom of littles, because I know the ages of your kids and I would consider them littles, right? They're right. The littles. Like, you know, you have people who are in different stages of life and they have children at different stages of life, and you have your bigs and your middles and your littles, and you are dead, like fully 100% in the middle of the littles, of the preschools and like all that kind of stuff with two very close in age. That is a big challenge. So I, just from your perspective, I was so excited when you submitted your, I don't want to call it an application, but you submitted yourself in for a guest. And full disclosure, I know Cecilia and her business very, very well. And this is not an advertisement for my coaching services, but I have coached Cecilia for quite a while. But that wasn't what prompted this conversation. And that's not what she's here to talk about today. Even though you might hear her mention things about it, I thought I should just throw that out there, so people kind of know that we do have a little bit of a past, and I right. do have a little bit more than just an outsider's knowledge about the business that you are building with your camera. So, you know, just wanted to lay that out there. But the one thing that I thought would be really interesting for us to discuss today and to dive into is when life throws you really big curveballs that you don't expect, how does that impact your business and everything else that goes along with it? Primarily, Cecilia and I have parallel stories in the fact that we had mothers who were very sick and we were caregivers and that type of thing. So do you want to speak to that experience of how that impacted your business when it came to changes and growth?
Of course. That, like I said, I started as a hobbyist and my mom was a big part of that, actually, because she is the one who was able to encourage getting out, exploring development, and always was a biggest cheerleader. But because of her health, she couldn't support, you know, she couldn't be that person, that mentor that she wanted to be. And I had to show up for myself. Mm-hmm. I was taking care of my siblings. I'm one of five kids. And so I was the mom. I was chauffeuring. I was doing everything. And that took a toll on my mental health as well as personal space, because I had no boundaries. I was 100% people pleaser. And, you know, people will tell you that if you meet my network, because I would do anything anybody asked me to. Oh, sure. You want me to take this for you? Yes, I'll go do that. Didn't matter what it was or if I was angry that it had to happen or anything like that. I allowed it. And that continued for a long time. And it stuck.
So in your life, Cecile, you were stuck in a situation where you were a caregiver trying to build a business. You were a young mom, a young wife, all those different things. And I'm assuming that at some point in time, you found yourself a little bit burned out because you were trying to be all things to all people. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes.
Okay, good. Right. And I think all of us can probably relate to that, especially when the people who are depending on us are so very important to us. And it isn't always the fact that we go out to be a doormat. It's the fact that we want to help. We love these people. And all of a sudden we realize we're sacrificing ourselves in the process. When did you get to a point where you were like, I literally cannot do this anymore. I have to make a change.
That started towards the end of, I would say, my bachelor's degree, when I was pregnant with my first child, because not only was I a pregnant mom, first time mom, that was in the same time where my marriage was extremely stressful and still caring for my mother who had medical condition, and I was spread so thin, I literally could not get myself out of bed or think about positive future, because I just felt like I was, you know, there was certain phrases that I would tell myself that I'm only a housemaid, I can only do this, I can only do that. And that kept me stuck for a really long time. So once I started observing what took my time away from me, like primarily me, like when I was saying, how can I feel better in that journey? Then that's where boundaries started developing. I started researching about boundaries, how to have a better life, and a big, you know, there's tools, there's self-help books all around. There's group therapy, there's counseling, there's so many avenues that I took to grow myself so that I could have a start in having an open mindset. And that has brought me in a sense that even though I was a teenager out of five siblings, I was the first to drive. I was the first to do most of my things because I was a caretaker of my family. Yeah. And I could not feel good about my life being that caretaker, being the giver that I am, without taking care of myself first, because that was the hardest. It's like, okay, well, I have a life too, so what am I going to do about it?
Right.
You know, I'm taking care of these people.
Yeah, you're taking care of everybody. And I can totally relate to that because, like, I didn't have to take care of my sibling when my mom was going through her long journey of cancer. But I had to take care of my husband and my dad and my daughter and myself and two businesses and employees and all of that. And it was very, very draining. What was the first no that you said when you discovering, okay, I have to set some boundaries here, otherwise I'm not going to be any good to anybody? What was the first no that you said to someone else that you realized, oh my gosh, the sun is not going to fall out of the sky if I say no, right? Because that's what we think. We think the world's going to end. And everybody's going to hate us and everybody's going to abandon us if we start sticking up for ourselves. But what was the first realization where you were like, oh my gosh, I said no and the world didn't fall apart?
I was first more willing to set boundaries within my marriage first before anywhere else. And the time that really comes to mind is one of those days where I'm like having this newborn and husband wanted to do something that would have just taken all of my energy. And I said no. And I was just like, oh my goodness, I actually can stand up for myself. And that was the easiest. He would say, you know, you can talk to me this way, but you're not talking to other people this way. And I was like, okay, well, we're going to finish this conversation later because I don't want to be yelling. I don't want to have this contention. And then that's how it really started. I was able to learn more about myself just by practicing the self-care that I was doing and starting really close relationships with boundaries. You know, it did branch out. Like, I was able to express myself more with other family members, but it really did start within my marriage because they're like the partner that is there with you every single day, no matter what. And you need space to have for yourself as well, as what I've been learning.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and you know, sometimes we always treat the people that we're closest to like we treat them the worst and we treat them the best. And so learning how to navigate that, especially when you might be in a situation that isn't always 100% healthy, because I don't know if any relationship in that situation that you are in can be 100% healthy. Let's just be honest. We're all damaged. I'm always amazed how great my husband was in me dealing with my mom's death, because it was my mom died. It was COVID. I was a homeschooling mom all of a sudden. One of my businesses relationships wasn't doing real well and all this kind of stuff. And I really consider that a traumatic time for me. I didn't let anybody see that externally. No one on social media, no one outside the house would have ever known what I was dealing with except for the people who lived in this house, and they got the brunt of it. And we survived. Luckily, you know, I'm married to the most laid back, easygoing guy ever. And, you know, it is what it is. But I think the thing is though, sometimes you're not married to the most supportive person. Sometimes you're not in a situation like I was, where people wanted you to thrive and grow. And I know part of your story is the fact that, you know, as much as your mom wanted to support you, she physically couldn't support your business and the growth that you wanted to have. What was going on in your house was not ideal, you know, but that's everybody's story. Everybody has not ideal parts of their relationship, their marriage, right? So, right. So how did you then, because you've been trying to build a business this whole time, and I know you spun your wheels for what would seem for someone your age, a really long time.
Right.
Because you couldn't concentrate fully on your business. You couldn't do all the things that you wanted to do because there were other limitations coming at you besides just the problem of not being able to say no. How did you finally discover and say, it's okay if I don't have support of my family, I'm going to do this anyway and be successful with or without them?
Through observation of my life, I was able to say, hey, look, this task is putting a huge strain on me. I need to phone a friend. Or this part of my personal life is really needing some work. And it took a lot of time. It's not going to happen overnight. For me, it took a few years to really finally realize what could be the largest change for my family. And that came into one of the hardest decisions of my life, to create space for myself and my kids. You know, I'm not here to dive into all the events that happened in my marriage and family, but I am here to say, you know what? If setting a boundary means that you have to create space in your marriage, then do it. Because if your boundaries are not respected, then that is where you're going to find a lot of the burnout. And I cannot tell you enough. Once I created that space, I feel myself, Dory. It's amazing to feel authentic to who I am.
Yeah.
And be able to go out at a trade show or go out at a networking event and say, here I am. And this is what I can do for you. Yeah. Rather than going out and saying, I have all this garbage in my life and, you know, I'm going to try to do something for you the best that I can, but I'm spread so thin.
You can't authentically put yourself out there if everything is a mess behind the scenes, because it's not authentic. If it's going to be authentic, you'd be presenting your mess, and no one wants to to go to a networking event and start crying and in a drink because, you know, you had a big fight before you walked in. Like the authenticity goes with the mess, and it goes with the cleaned up part too. And I think people always are like, well, I want to be authentically mine. I want to be authentic to my business. I want to be authentic to other people. But truly, if the life behind the scenes, behind the door, is truly a mess, and you're trying to put out something that is showing, I don't want to say crystal clear and perfectly clean, but if you're trying to portray something that isn't what you're going through, people can see through that. And there's a constant struggle there, and you're never going to be able to get that traction. So I love the fact that you're sharing the fact that you stood up for yourself and that you got help that you needed. Before we go to the next topic that I want to talk about, can you maybe share some tools that you found, books, tools, or things like that, that you found exceptionally helpful for you and your journey in growth during this time that maybe some of our listeners could also get some help with?
Yes, of course. So there's a few things, and being persistent and consistent in your business has to do a lot with your attitude. And I have this quote that I keep on my fridge because my desk is right next to my fridge. And sometimes that can be a little dangerous because the fridge is right next to my desk and there's mindless snacks.
I don't think I could do that. I would snack all day long. I would have to put a padlock on it.
Right? I keep my water bottle there, so I'm not tempted to stand up until it's break time. But the quote says, sometimes the solution is not to change our circumstances, but to change our attitude about the circumstance. And that,
I love that.
That is by Spencer W. Kimball. And I keep that next to me because even in the days where I'm like, I cannot stand this, I am overwhelmed, you know, the kids are crying, there seems like the world is going to end kind of days, but it doesn't, because I I constantly remind myself, I can do this. The Little Blue Engine, I constantly read that to my kids because they could feel, they're very empathetic. Like my kids there and I are very connected. They're empathetic of what the problems were between mommy and daddy or mommy inside because I'm spread so thin taking care of so people.
Yeah.
So books that I found, I could not sit down and read a book. I had to do audiobooks.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I couldn't have the time to stand there or sit there and just read. Mm-hmm. So audiobooks, one of them is about self-talk, which is how to talk to yourself.
Okay.
Affirmations never stuck for me because they, like, the top affirmation would be I am. And I couldn't fathom that that was me. Like, I couldn't feel that I had that deserving of abundance. So I had to change that to the first level of changing your programming in your brain, because we tell ourselves what to do every day, whether we realize it, to saying statements of I no longer blank. And so for a business example, it would be I no longer discount my services, or I no longer accept opportunities that take me away from my main goal. That brings me into setting SMART goals. You have to have a plan, because if you don't have a plan, you're going to scramble like I did a lot of the time. I wasted so much time being in a fixed mindset that I didn't have a plan. I wasn't building my business. I was going in circles because I thought it had to be done a certain way or the highway, and that didn't work. I had to
Isn't that funny? Isn't that interesting how there's so many people out there struggling because they think they have to follow and do things a very certain way. And this is one thing that I tell my coaching students, and I don't know if you resonated with this or not. It's like, we can do this any way you want. There's so many different ways to do this. And that causes sometimes people a lot of frustration when they work with me because I'm saying, listen, they're like, well, I need to do this. Okay, well, how do you want to do it? And like, well, I don't know how I want to do it. You just need to tell me how to do it. I'm like, that's not how you're going to find your most authentic business. You need to create this. So I will help you create this, but I'm not going to tell you step by step how to do it. Because first of all, you know how. We always think we don't know how, but we know how to do it, right? But you need to be able to create it so it works for you. Not so it works for me, or not so it works for somebody else that you see on the socials bragging all over the place about how much money they make. That worked for them. That's great. But you need to make it so it works for you. So I love that. All right. Total sidebar. Continue. Go ahead.
Okay. I also want to encourage to celebrate the small wins. A really fun tool in my home is an easy button from Staples. I will advertise that for $10 here because anytime I accomplish a task for myself or in my business, I would push the easy button. And it's right next to our popcorn machine. So if it's at night and I'm done for the day, I can make a batch of popcorn for the family and celebrate. There's little things that you have to do to say, I did this. And at the end of the day, I ask myself, how did I show up? Did I show up for myself at least one activity? Did I show up for my business at least one activity? What did I do to grow today? Those two questions, if I could say yes to both, I could go to bed in peace. And my mind wouldn't go crazy. As far as self-care goes, journal. Get all your ideas out. Spend some time outside. Take your kids or any family member and just take some time to really think about and visionary plot where you want to be, because with that plan you can take that and say, break it down into a SMART goal, whereas it's measurable, it's very specific to what needs are for you, and you can track your progress. One of the things that has happened, which I'm really grateful for, this is very recent, is I started a metabolic program for my personal health. And I've been seeing that in my business because I'm more open to abundance. I've dropped 10 pounds since April, which is all baby weight, which is really fun.
Yeah.
And doing that, I've been able to be authentic in setting myself in a networking environment and know how I work and work best. If I need to spend 30 minutes on one task and then spend 2 hours with my kids, great. If I need to take and manage my time in a way where quiet time or waking up at 5 in the morning, because that's how I work, I cannot stay up at 2 in the morning. there's no way. I'm dragging for 3 days if I don't go to bed before midnight.
Yeah.
So if I'm setting my time limits, which is a boundary for me, you know, time block, then I know I have succeeded. And for networking, that's how I connect best. If if I know that I'm in a conversation with someone and it's lasting more than 5 minutes, it's a really good lead. It's a really good way to qualify a connection that may not be a direct sale, but it will build a relationship that can get more sales. And I would like to share a little story.
Sure.
Okay. So I have met a gal, I'll keep her name anonymous, but I talked to her and she's like, why are you not wearing your camera to these networking events? It's a tool. Once I started bringing my camera to networking events, it changed everything, you know,
just holding it. You're just holding it,
just holding it, you know,
not even using it,
but people will come up to me and recognizing that I'm a photographer because I have my camera, and then I can bring smaller samples. I've ordered from Enphoto. I've like accordion minis, triplexes, the complete set. I've ordered those things and I have them, and they're mainly for, you know, I have some of my kids, but mostly I bring the ones of my clients. Or I, even if it's like a video or I pull up my website right there, you know, they have some kind of link. They have some kind of connection that they can remember you by and your artwork. I always try
and with that said, I'm going to stop you again. With that said, this is a perfect time for us to pause and listen to a great special that Enphoto has running right now. So go ahead and run that. As photographers, we know that the presentation of our work is just as important as the photos themselves. And that's why I'm so excited to be partnering with Enphoto and so thankful for their sponsorship of this podcast. They make beautiful handcrafted albums and they're perfect for showcasing your stunning images. And now, as a listener of the Focal Points podcast, you can get a 75% discount off your first sample album by signing up for an account using the link in our show notes. Don't settle for generic photo albums. Visit Enphoto Lab and focalpointspodcast.com and start showing your work off in a beautiful, beautiful way. Okay, we're back. And I rudely interrupted Cecilia in order to get that promotion in for Enphoto because she was giving us some great, great networking tips. We've covered a lot of really great information here today. So you're saying someone suggested to you just to bring your camera to networking events, not use it. Just have it slung over your shoulder as kind of a prop. And I am sure that that gets some attention because people love gear. Photographers love gear. We all love gear. Oh, what kind of camera is that? What do? Are you a photographer? It's just, it's like an icebreaker, right?
It is an icebreaker. And it brings up really good talking points about how my journey started with film photography. And I'll go in and especially if there's another photographer in the venue. One chamber specifically had a photographer I would like to mention in a minute, but she monopolized the chamber. And so when I started bringing my camera, people would recognize me as the photographer. And sometimes I'd be like pulled and say, hey, can you take my, you know, can I take a picture of you and do this? I said, of course. And there are certain very, like, I set a boundary, of course, because I cannot spend hours upon hours at networking events and just sending it. But I have used my camera in ways that I can get the leads who seem unsure to stay connected with me. I'll send them, say, hey, here's what you look like at your event. Nice connecting with you.
Yeah.
Those kinds of images really helped qualify leads and also stay connected.
That's so interesting.
There are certain times where I'll be, yes, I will use my camera for a volunteer opportunity to stay connected to you. Or if it's a really good cause, then support them that way. Mm-hmm. But that way they can see and remember, oh, Cecilia took this.
Yeah.
You know, we were there together.
Top of mind. You're top of mind, which is awesome.
Top of mind. Yes.
I love it. I love it. So Cecilia has shared some really great things here about how she was able to kind of change her mindset and lift herself up in to the benefit of her personal health, to the benefit of her relationships, and also to the benefit of her business. And some of those were like how she talked to herself. And I loved the idea of sharing the fact that sometimes, especially when you're in a really dark place, those affirmations don't really stick because they're not, again, back to authenticity, they're not authentic to who you are. Like if you don't feel like I am a $1 million business owner, you can tell yourself that like literally 10 million times, but you also still have to believe that you're a $1,000 business owner and then a $10,000 business owner. So sometimes getting into those affirmations, they don't connect, first of all, because you're copying them from someone else. You know, you can get affirmations off of Pinterest from someone's carousel reel. You can get 10 of them and you can start telling them to yourselves, but they're not yours. So finding things that really resonate with you, I think, are key. And I love that you did that. You realize I can tell myself this one till I'm blue in the face, but it's never going to work. I need to reinvent these for myself. And then she talked about setting goals. And then also I love the reflection piece because I think this is missing a lot. People don't sit back and say, what was I responsible for today? What did I do today? What worked well today? And what didn't work well tomorrow so that I can create a better tomorrow? And we sit there and we plan and we have goals and we set these goals and we do our affirmations, we do all these things. But unless you are sitting back on a regular basis and reflecting back on what has happened and how your actions and your attitudes have colored what has taken place, you're not going to get too much change tomorrow. You have to be able to say, what do I need to change in order to make the progress that I want in my business or in my life? And a lot of people don't like that word change and they don't want to change. They want to do all this other work that feels good in the process, but until you actually take the step to change and stand up for yourself or do something differently, that's where the magic can happen. And then Cecilia also talked about journaling. I'm not a huge journaler. It's never really been my thing, but I have found that there's a few things that I can do when I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed that really will help the next day. So before I go to bed, I can write down a list of everything that I need to do or everything that's on my list and not just hold it in my head. And that can be from people that I need to call, emails that I need to send, promote proposals I need to write, social media ideas, all of that. Getting it out. And I put it usually in my notes app in my phone or my iPad. And then I have my to-do list ready for the next day. And I haven't had to think about it. I don't have to sit at the beginning of the day and worry, okay, what am I going to do today? Because I think especially when you're an entrepreneur and you're a small business owner, much of our time is spent thinking like, okay, what do I do next? What do I do today? What do I need to cross off the list today? But you need to reflect to know what's working, what's not working, create your list for what you want to accomplish tomorrow. And then you're ready to go when the day starts, which I love so very much. Okay. We're going to totally transition here. I know you have so much to share, but there's one thing that I know that you did recently that I told you you needed to do and you did it.
Yes.
And it actually had a bigger effect even than I thought it would. And one thing that I tell all my coaching students, and I say it on social media, I've said it so many different places. If you're a photographer and you've never had gone and hired a photographer for a session, you need to do that because how can you really tell somebody or come up with processes or that type of thing if you haven't gone through it? And one thing I really encouraged Cecilia to do was to go out and hire a photographer and have some branding images taken. What was that experience like for you? And what did you think about it?
That was a complete game-changing identity growth. Just everything changed at that moment because it took me I didn't just go off and hire a photographer off the street. I wanted to, you know, I searched for this gal I went to college with because I knew that's what she specialized in. Mm-hmm. And she graduated school before I did. And as soon as I found her, I was able to brainstorm. I was able to think about how I want to show up for me. And when I got to the session there, I had the full experience. I had a makeup artist. I had a full session. You know, I was very specific with my photographer about how I want to look mm-hmm. and feel. And she did that for me. And I was able to come out on the client end where I was like, oh, this is so nice. I don't have to process these images myself.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not pinpointing the details because I'm a very detail-oriented person and I can't overthink. And I could spend like 10 hours on one image and ask Dory, what do you think? She's like, I can't even tell a difference. I'm like, but this is different than this.
Yes, and we struggled with that a little bit. in the early days, I'm like, Cecilia, no one cares. Just keep going. Exactly. Trust me, it'll be okay. But so you were able to get pampered. You were able to experience what it's like to be on the other side of the lens so that you can kind of feel a little bit more about how your clients feel. You researched photographers, which is so great because that's the same thing our clients do. So what do you look for? And so how did that experience change how you want to show up for your clients?
It changed how I wanted to show up because I quickly realized that I wasn't dressing appropriately to be charging the investment that I wanted clients to be having. Mm-hmm. I talk a different way. I connect a different way. You know, it's a full circle in how I present myself for myself, not just because of the business end. And I've noticed that I've had so many more people as I hand them my business card with my headshot on it. And they say, oh, that's really smart. You know, people recognize that. Mm-hmm. And being able to speak on it, you know, why it's actually important, why it builds your self-confidence characteristics, as well as why it builds your brand, because you can't go out and say you're building trust with your audience with a selfie self-portrait. Like, it's
what
it
you can't portray. You can't do that.
You can. You can, but it doesn't work well, Dory.
It doesn't work well. And I tell people this all the time. I'm like, what is this picture of you at the backyard barbecue where you cut out Aunt Susie's arm around your shoulder? Like, we know the difference. So if you want to present yourself in a professional way, photographer, like physician, heal thyself. Photographer, heal thyself. Go get those images made. Hire someone. Invest in yourself in the same way that you're asking your clients to invest in you. I promise it changes everything. It really, really does. It really does. Cecilia, I'm going to cut off our conversation. And I know that we could talk about this stuff for so long because it's so interesting to me. And I love hearing your story and seeing your growth. For those of you who weren't with us in our coaching sessions, I just want to say that the way Cecilia speaks now about her business and her life is night and day from when we started coaching together. It's such a joy to see that growth in you and knowing your full story. You know, I tell you this behind the scenes, but I'm going to tell you this publicly that I'm just so proud. I'm so proud of where you're going. And it's such a joy to see you really step into becoming the business owner and the person that I know that you can be. And I'm glad that you see it now too, because I knew it was always there. So that is awesome. Well, we're going to wrap up the podcast on those notes. And just thank you, Cecilia, thank you so much for joining me and sharing so much of your story with us today. If you want to get in touch with her, we will have her her socials and everything else, contact information on our show notes page when this podcast episode goes live. So for now, thank you for joining me for the Focal Points podcast brought to you by our good friends at Enphoto. We'll see you next time. Hey everyone, I hope you've enjoyed the program. I have a quick request. If you've enjoyed this program or enjoyed other programs that we've brought to you courtesy of Focal Points and InPhoto, I would love for you to head over to Spotify or iTunes and leave us a review. These help us more than you know when it comes to getting the word out about the program and how we can help other photographers who might be dealing with some of the same struggles that you are. We appreciate your time and we appreciate your review today.